Welcome to Let's Go, where you will hear about lives that have been transformed by the power of God. You'll see and hear real stories of real people going to real places far away, whose lives are changed as God uses them to impact the lives of others for His glory. Get ready to see people experience God's love and power. Let's go.
Welcome to Let's Go. I'm Darren Slack, your host, and today I'm with the founder and president of Heart of Titus Ministries, Pastor Tony Nardella. Pastor, how are we doing?
I'm doing good.
So great to be with you again. Last time we talked about healing. We need healing in our lives. We need to be used of God to bring healing, not only in salvation, but physical manifestations, spiritual, emotional, mental. God wants to heal His people, doesn't He?
Healing is the children's bread. Yes, that is exactly what He wants to do.
This time I want to talk about activation. How do you, when you're on the missions field, and you know, pastors ask you, can you help our people know how to be used in healing? What do you do? How does that work?
Well, of course, you know, you start with teaching them what the Word of God says. And the Word of God, all over the Word of God, Jesus is healing people, or God is healing people in the Old Testament. It's everywhere. In Acts 10:38, Peter sums up Jesus' life by saying that, I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth, who went through the land of Israel, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God is with him. So one of the things I like to say right off the bat when I'm beginning to coach people and encourage them in their healing gifts is I say, look, you're a disciple of Jesus. A disciple becomes like his teacher. Jesus did good and healed people. That's what you need to aspire to. And you have to believe that God wants you to do these things. And I think that that's probably the biggest hurdle we have out there, is because we've been so religionfied. That's a word I just made up. I'm sure you noticed that. We've just been so indoctrinated with the idea that that's for somebody else to do, when God has given it to everybody with the Holy Spirit. Some people have gifts of healing. It's kind of like with prophecy. You know, there's gifts of prophecy, there's prophetic utterances, and you know, and then there's prophets. Well, you know, with healing, there's different levels of, you know, there are some people that are just, wow, they, no matter whatever, wherever they go, people are getting healed. But from time to time, you pray for somebody, you minister healing, they may get healed.
Well, what happens when you start that process? You teach them the Word of God, and then what? Do you just cut them loose and say, go pray for somebody? Or how do you teach them to do it?
You know, praying for or ministering healing to somebody who's hurting is hardly ever a bad thing. Now, there's a lot of things you can do to screw it up. And so, yes, that's part of the reason why they need to be discipled, they need to be trained. But basically, I just communicate the idea that we have been called by God and commissioned to go out and preach the good news, heal the sick, raise the dead, drive out demons. This is what we're supposed to do. In fact, it's disobedience if we don't. Instead of this mindset where, well, I'll just go to church and tithe and listen good and sing. I mean, that's good. That's a good place to start. But we want to do something to go out and help other people. So I teach them that healing is not just a big flash. It's a way of expressing God's love to people. You know, the greatest commandment besides loving God is to love our neighbor. The best way to love my neighbor is to use what I have to help them. And so if they need money and I have money, I give them some money. If they're sick and I have a gift of healing, I give them some healing. It's a way of loving people. And that helps people who feel unworthy or insecure in themselves understand that it's really not about them. It's about the person they're ministering to. So it's a change of focus as well.
I've been asked to pray for somebody. I've been asked to, you know, they're sick. They've shared what's going on. So talk me through it. What do I do? I mean, just say, be healed? What do I do?
Well, basically, when somebody is seeking your assistance because they're not feeling good, you know, Jesus says to lay hands on them. Now, I think it's very plain that we should only lay hands on appropriate places. You know, foreheads, maybe shoulders if they're covered. Sometimes I take people's hands. If you're the same gender and they have a problem with their knee, maybe, if they want you to, you put your hand on their knee. There's a lot of different things that you do, but You don't want to violate any kind of ethics, or you don't want to do anything inappropriate, but you do want to lay hands. Sometimes we can even anoint with oil, but those are mechanics. The main thing is to be led of the Holy Spirit, to be guided by not just the Spirit, but by compassion for the person and their problem, and then have the faith to believe that, hey, this doesn't need to be here because Jesus shed his blood and died so that that person would not have to suffer in this way. And so going in with that confidence, then you minister and you say something just as simple as, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Maybe you add something to it. If you know what the specific problem is, you command all the pain to leave. This pain does not have the right to stay. I command you to go now in the name of Jesus.
Now, you said a minute ago that we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. What does that look like for you? When you're ministering to someone, does the Holy Spirit talk to you? Does he reveal things to you about the person? What happens in the guidance of the Spirit?
Not always, but I've got the general commission in the sense that I've been sent. I know that the Lord has sent me to preach the gospel and to do the whole gospel program, including healing. So my default answer is always yes, unless God shows me a reason why I shouldn't, or he says, no, not here, not now. And that has happened from time to time. But generally, if I'm in a service after I'm done ministering, if the pastor's good with it, I invite people up for healing, and then we go to it, and we watch God do what he does. So to answer your question more specifically, sometimes I feel that nudge, sometimes I don't. But I'm always going to be doing in obedience what he's called me to do.
What are some of the mistakes you see people making when they're ministering healing?
The desire to want to heal somebody is a good desire. Now, if we get all wrapped up in, hey, look at me, you know, I'm the great healer, then that can lead to issues like it can with the exercise of any gift. If a prophet, for example, is beating his chest and saying, look at me, I'm the great prophet, you know, that's really not the right motivation, and then error can enter in. I remember one pastor poured a whole big bottle of olive oil on somebody's head.
Oh my.
And I can't say that was wrong because I don't know what the Holy Spirit told him, but it sure made a mess. And on the person and on the floor, you know? So you probably don't want to do that one because somebody showed you and that was cool or looked cool to you. One thing I have seen often is people rubbing mud in blind people's eyes or spit. Just Jesus did that once, but I'm sure he was directly instructed to do that by his Father. Unless you really are really sure to do that, because it can be really humiliating for the blind person. It's probably not the first time they've had that happen to them either. But doctrinally, I think you make mistakes, and sometimes I don't hear this as much anymore, but in the past, they would allude to the fact that, well, you didn't get healed because of your lack of faith. And that's usually not the case. In fact, the biblical precedent I see, as I mentioned on another episode, was in Matthew 17, when the little boy didn't get healed of demon possession by the nine apostles that didn't go up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Jesus accused them of being wicked and perverse, not the boy.
So it was on the part of the minister, not the one being received.
Yeah, I have to take it personal. I'm sorry. I don't want to put guilt on anybody out there. And I don't take it as guilt, but it's a responsibility. You know, I need to make sure my life exemplifies the life of Christ when I'm out ministering, and that I haven't been out doing anything I shouldn't be doing. I mean, besides all the normal reasons why we don't want to live sinful lives or distracted lives, I want to make sure I'm focused so that the people can get the best opportunity to get whatever God's put in me to them, to help them.
Now, what I've seen you do, and I've seen this happen with others, is once you've prayed, you know, not a long prayer, but a reasonably effective prayer, you've said be healed and all that sort of stuff, you actually inquire as to if anything's happening. You ask the person what's going on.
Yeah, I do that. And a lot of times I do that because I want the church to be encouraged. And other times, you know, part of the other motivation for that is so that the people can actually realize that something's happening, if something's indeed happening. In addition to that, along those same lines, I'll feel prompted by the Spirit to say, well, you know, if like if there's a leg problem, knee or foot or something like that. So why don't you go walk to that door over there and come back? And they'll look at me. He says, go ahead, go for a walk, come back, I'll wait for you. And they come back and they go, oh my gosh, all the pain's gone. And you know, Jesus did that. He would send, for example, the 10 lepers that he healed, but weren't that the healing wasn't manifest immediately. It manifest as they were going to the priest to offer testimony. And then of course the one came back. So there's other examples of that where doing something to kind of, I don't understand it all, but I know that mixing in some of that is very helpful. But
does it represent faith for them to do that? I mean, is that kind of a thing that they're participating in responding to what?
I suppose. Yeah, you know, it's a, you know, they're complying with instructions. They complied enough to come forward and have hands laid on them. And then if you ask them to do something else, kind of like naming the Syrian, you know, he got all bent out of shape because, you know, Elisha had, you know, told him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, I got rivers at home better than this place. But his servant had the sense to tell him, look, it's an easy thing, go do it. And as he did, he got cleansed. So I don't understand it all. I see it's biblically accurate. I don't believe it's error. I see it work. To answer your previous question about why we're asking people about that, it's a lot of it's self-awareness, and it's primarily to get a testimony.
Mm. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, my friends. I want to let you know about an exciting opportunity we're making available to you. As you know, here at Let's Go, we are all about God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things for His glory. We believe so strongly that God has a plan and a purpose for every person who believes in Jesus that we're offering a way to interact with you and help you fulfill your potential in Christ. That's right. The scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on everyone, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been distributed to every believer. Many of you who are watching really want to be used by God. You have His fire burning in you, but many of you have so many questions and a few doubts and fears too. Everything we have done on this show has been to motivate and encourage you to overcome these fears and to find out what are your gifts, calling, and purpose, so that you can be fruitful and effective in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what we're going to do. We will be starting a series of monthly video conferences where we will encourage you, pray for you, and answer your questions. Our goal is to build your confidence that you really are a son or a daughter of God and that you have meaning and purpose in this life. We want to help you on your road to being discipled so that you will be an even greater blessing to others. We may even ask some of you to come with us on one of our mission trips. But the most important thing is that we help you overcome the obstacles to your service to the King wherever He calls you, and we believe these conferences will help get you there. Visit our website on the bottom of the screen for the time, the date, and the link for our next conference. We look forward to seeing you there.
We're talking with Pastor Tony Nardell today about healing and activating and equipping people in healing. Now, when you talk about praying for people to be healed, one of the things that always seems to come up, and we're going to transition a little bit now, okay, is I tend to find the Holy Spirit pointing out how the enemy is working in a situation to bring about some of the problems and ailments that I'm seeing. So the person needs deliverance. They need freedom from some torment that the enemy's bringing. What have you seen there in the way of demonic influence and
torment?
Yeah,
usually the enemy's behind just about everything rotten that goes on, including sickness and disease. And, you know, it's not always, you know, I don't see a demon behind every bush, but that, you know, but whenever there's problems like that, there's no mistaking that the enemy is lurking around somewhere. So yes, I think that deliverance will bring about healing. Healing will bring about deliverance. I mean, we're talking about spiritual matters that, you know, we really don't see or understand that clearly. We just know that we've been given a commission to set the captive free and to heal the sick.
So I was in a meeting one time with you, talking to a group of pastors, and this beautiful young lady walks up to be ministered to we're just a group in a circle, and the Lord had me stand up and walk across the circle towards her, which I hadn't done for anybody else. I was just going, she was the last one we're going to minister to. And so she gets up to meet me in the middle, and right about 3 feet away, she just starts to try to run out of the building. I mean, she literally manifested right in front of me, and I'm like, now we have a young lady who's in need of healing through the ministry of deliverance. What has been your experience in having to work in deliverance in the mission field? Is that pretty prevalent for you?
Yes. Yes, there is. I mean, of course, the obvious question that many people listening or watching are going to say is, well, why don't we see it here? But I can assure you that it's there. Demons exist, and they bother a lot of people that happen to be in church. And I don't mean to bother anybody's theology there, but it's a real thing. And so even pastors...
Hold on a minute. Are you saying a Christian can be tormented by a demon?
Well, didn't you say that this pastor's daughter was manifesting demonically?
Yeah. I didn't know if she was a believer or not, but I mean, you're saying that Christians, you know, can they be possessed?
Oh, yeah. I have a great story on that one. You know, our buddy Pat, our co-host here, his first mission trip, we were in Ecuador ministering in this nice middle class church, and he's right next to me, and we're going down the line praying for people, and there was these two, you know, middle-aged ladies. They're dressed really nice, you know, and we pray for the first one, and she gets slain in the spirit. She falls on the floor, you know, and she's happy. And then we pray for the second one, and, you know, she starts, you know, shaking a bit, and then we minister, and then we saw that her eyes kind of close, you know, and she starts shaking a little bit more. The next thing you know, she falls on the ground, and she's spinning at about 60 RPM longitudinally, like a crankshaft, you know.
Wow.
And of course, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I get her name, you know, and I call out her name, and I says, you know, Susie or whatever her name was. Everything's subject to me in the name of Jesus. Stop. I bind the spirit. Stop. And so after we got, you know, some control, I turned around and looked at our brother Pat. Says, what do you think, Pat? Do you think that's a demon? And, you know, the woman got free. I mean, she got really free. And, you know, we even went out to dinner with a whole bunch of people afterward, and she was there, and her eyes were glowing. Wow. And she could look you right in the eye. But after that, Pat grabs me and says, you know, I was taught that Christians couldn't have demons. So we went back to where we were staying, and we spent some time in the Bible, you know, kind of flushing that out. And, you know, it's not to say that you're a bad person, and it's, you know, it's just to say that sometimes the enemy gets in places he shouldn't be. Sometimes it is our fault. If you have unforgiveness, you're just asking every demon in hell to come camp out in your heart and have a picnic. That's how bad unforgiveness is. So take that to the bank. I've seen that a million times. Matthew 18, that God himself will hand you over to the torturers until you pay back the last penny, if you have unforgiveness in your heart towards your brother. But having said that, yeah, I've seen a lot of it.
See, I don't think people really realize how important deliverance is. Jesus made it a priority. He said, aside from asking for daily bread, the second thing you got to ask for is deliverance from evil.
Yeah.
I mean, he put it in the same prayer we're supposed to pray to the Lord. I mean, that's a pretty high priority he places on the awareness of the enemy's work. Now, a lot of people say, well, you're just looking for demons behind every tree. But the reality is no, they're not behind every tree. They're behind every scheme that the enemy's trying to bring in my life to steal, kill, and destroy what Jesus is doing. And I need to be alert to that, don't I?
Well, we all do, yeah. I mean, this is part of what we're sent to do. This is not optional stuff. If you're sent to preach the gospel, you got to heal the sick. You got to drive out demons. There are demonic forces which are really bothering, hurting, damaging people that Jesus died for. And the reason the Son of Man came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil, including the works in other people's lives. We have to set them free. We've been given the authority to set them free. So what are we waiting for?
Wow. See, I think that when you talk about deliverance, people suddenly imagine having a demon as an awful thought, but then, you know, vomiting on the floor, having some huge event occur. When in reality, sometimes it's like you said, I just have unforgiveness in my heart and I'm being tormented for that. I have something that's operating against me generationally that I got to take authority over. I have something that's happening to me that the Holy Spirit reveals that I'm not aware of that I need to deal with, or someone else is going through that and we need to help them get free. It's not as event-oriented as people might say. It's just...
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. It should be just something that God does as a way of keeping us free and serving Him.
Like everything Jesus does and has commissioned us to do, it's an extension of His love and His grace. I think of one time I was in a foreign church. Mother comes up to me and says, I have a little boy. He doesn't listen to anything I tell him to do. And he was like 5 years old. And I went back and I talked to the kid just a little bit, and I could tell that there was something rebellious, really deeply rebellious going on. So I just put him in my lap and I just sang, Jesus loves me. And using his name, Jesus loves Jose or whatever the name was. I don't know, for about 15 minutes, and the kid got free.
Wow.
And they didn't have the problem anymore. And, it doesn't have to be that big deal. But I've seen plenty of vomit on the floor and stuff. but so what? The idea is to get the person free. If we take the gospel accounts as normative, as this is what life is like for, if I want to be like Jesus, I need to study his life to see how he did stuff. And the boy that was that used to throw himself in the fire with convulsions and all that, he was left almost dead, but Jesus picked him up and he got his life back. So yeah, the demons will make a show. We try not to let him. I was trained to bind the spirit so that it would not make a show on its way out. But you can't always even do that. The idea is just to get rid of the thing, have it leave. Now, what does it mean that I want to talk about, Darren, I want to talk about this issue with, are people demon possessed or oppressed or influenced?
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought just one second. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to have a moment for Tony to explain to us what demon possession is, what does it mean to be tormented, and what does it mean to have a demon? So we'll be right back.
Hello, my friends. I want to talk to you for a moment about a great need the Lord has put on my heart. Recently, I went to Poland, to Krakow, which is close to the border with Ukraine. I stayed with my good friend, Pastor Andrei Hlopkov, who is a Ukrainian that the Lord sent ahead of the war to Poland. He didn't realize that God was sending him there so that when the war started, he and his new church would be a center for help for the refugees fleeing the war. The church has now also become a center for distribution to send food, clothes, and even portable generators to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. You know that here at Let's Go, we don't normally get involved in ministry like this. Instead, we are focused on sending ordinary people to share the life-giving Word of God. But there are times when God moves on our hearts to help in a more tangible way. Truthfully, my heart has been so burdened for the state of the widows and grandmothers in Ukraine since the war started. As winter approaches, I know that many people there will be freezing during the cold nights because of the lack of power in their homes. I want to do something about it, and I'm asking you to help. I have seen firsthand the work of Pastor Andre and Grace of Life Church. They have refugee homes, delivery vans, warehouses, all the tools they need to get warm clothes and power generators into Ukraine. They just need more money. So I'm asking you today to join with us in sending the money that our brothers and sisters there need to get through the winter. Go to our website on the screen and click on Donate and specify Ukrainian Relief. Or you can send money directly to us with Cash App. I'm just so thankful for your participation with us in this ministry, and I promise you that every dollar that you give will go directly to assist with the plight of our Ukrainian brothers and sisters. Thanks again.
We started our episode talking about activating people in the gifts of healing and how to move in the power of the Spirit. And of course, one of the most important things to discuss about that, Pastor Tony, is the inevitable reality of deliverance, the fact that we're going to encounter demonic forces that are acting on behalf of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy his people. And there's all kinds of things you're seeing. Before the break, you mentioned something about the idea of, you really want to talk about this idea of demon possession, torment. Can you clarify, kind of break that down as to what you meant and what you were thinking about that?
Well, yes, I can. And the reason I bring it up, Darren, is because a lot of people get hung up on this idea about, you know, Christians can't be demon possessed. I mean, there's really no scripture that says that directly, but okay. I'm willing to concede that point if they're willing to look at the, you know, the real definition of the word, you know, demon oppressed or whatever. It's a Greek word, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce here, but the concept is one of influence. And the more you open up your life and your heart to the influence of the evil one, the more he can influence you, right? The more you know, you give the enemy an inch and he'll take a yard, right? And he'll become your ruler. Sorry, that was a bad joke from Sunday school from many years ago. But what we don't want is demonic influence. And let's not get hung up on whether we're possessed or not. What we want to do if we love Jesus and we love ourselves is we do not want to be in any way influenced in our thoughts and our actions by what Satan wants and what he's nudging us to do.
Do you think people miss a lot of the times when they're being influenced, that he makes them think it's just them and that he's not doing anything? He kind of stays in the background, doesn't want to be noticed, but he's actually the one pulling strings and doing things.
Oh, he's the Prince of Darkness. That's right. Where he lives. You know, he lives in the shades of gray and the black. So, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of what we do that's good is being inspired by the Lord. And a lot of what we do that's bad is because we've opened the door or we've let the enemy come in. And sometimes, to be fair, it's not always that we've opened the door. It's that there may be some generational stuff going on, that maybe you had a great-grandmother that was, you know, messing around with witchcraft. We deal with a lot of that kind of stuff, too, overseas.
Now, I mean, obviously, to open this topic, we got a lot to talk about, because activating someone in healing is more understanding the faith and authority of the name of Jesus as you pray. Dealing with someone who's dealing with a spirit, there's more steps you got to take and more things you have to know, right?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, the authority, knowing who you are in Christ and what your authority is maybe even more important in deliverance than in healing, although it's important in both. And yes, the authority thing is very important. And yeah, there's a few helpful steps that I've learned along the way that maybe could help somebody else.
Well, that's what we're going to do in our next episode. We're going to talk about what deliverance looks like in a ministry context, because it's inevitable. You go on the mission field, or you go out anywhere to minister, you're going to encounter someone who's being influenced by demonic forces. And how do we deal with that? And I really appreciate you being here today to explain your experience in healing and, in, you know, by way of introduction, deliverance, because we're really going to benefit from that spiritually. And for you as the viewer, if you want to grow in your ability to understand spiritual forces, how to understand how to respond to those things and to live in the victory that Jesus has given, we want to encourage you to go to our website. It's in the lower third of the screen right now. You're going to find resources that are going to help you. Things are going to make a big difference in your perspective and what God's doing. There's also a YouTube channel, Heart of Titus, where you can learn all kinds of wonderful things about other ministries and about Heart of Titus and the influence they're having around the world. We also want to know that if you have prayer requests, you can just share those on our website. We'd be more than happy to pray with you. We also want to make you aware, as you saw earlier, that we have conferences coming up online that you can participate in through Zoom. So make sure you pay attention to the dates and times so you can get better at understanding some of those things related to your gifts and growing in spiritual power. And the last thing is, if the Lord might lead you to give and be a part of our ministry, we'd love to receive what God might have for you to make an investment in today. So you can see on the screen how to go about that process to invest in us being able to bring you this content and hopefully to continue to encourage you through this ministry. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you on the next episode of Let's Go.